Welcome to The Confident Healer. I'm your host, Sharmila Mali, and in this podcast, we have inspirational, uplifting, and soulful conversations about the ins and outs of having confidence as a healer and as a healer in business. Welcome to The Confident Healer. I'm your hostess, Sharmila Mali, and on this week, we have a beautiful soul with us today. She is a feminine lifestylist, an author, and creatress of Exploring Femininity Limited, assisting modern-day busy women who struggle with burnout, overwhelm, and body love to reconnect with their feminine and sensual energy using the ancient Taoist and Tantric arts so that they can create a lifestyle that is fulfilling, nurturing, and pleasurable. She is also a certified life coach, NLP practitioner, master hypnotherapist, and combines the teachings of Indian feminine mysticism and shamanism in her work, facilitating monthly moon circles, online workshops, and sacred feminine retreats. So please welcome with a big warm hug, Janita D'Souza. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Sharmila. It's exciting to be here to talk to you and talk about the things we love to talk.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much for taking the time out. So how has this the first question I usually ask people because of what's going on? How has the past 2 years been going for you?
Wow. Yeah, I bet you must have heard interesting stories. It's been quite intense and interesting. I would say one of the things I have learned is that, you know, to live in the moment and take moment by moment choices and decisions, because everything that I planned in the beginning of 2020 is just collapsed in its own way. But then something beautiful emerged on the other end. So I live in London for I've been living in London for the last 14 years, and I was quite tired of the busy city vibe. Like, London can get really overwhelming. So we decided, my husband and I, we decided to pack our bags and leave London for good. Wow. Beginning of January 2020. And I had my sacred feminine retreat in India. So we thought we will come to India, finish this retreat, and then travel a little bit in India, and then see where we can go next. And guess what? We didn't go anywhere else yet outside of India. So here we are still in India, 2 years, almost 18 months. Yeah, and a lot of things didn't work according to the plan, but then a lot of things were shown, revealed in ways that I knew helped me to progress further, because I had a big ball of uncertainty, like what to do next. But I knew I didn't want to be in London for a while. So yeah, here we are with our three big suitcases, traveling in India on and off when we are allowed to, and offering my work through the online media.
Nice, nice, nice pivot there. So So like, that's just interesting, because you were, it's like something in you knew to get out of London, or to get out of Europe and then go back and move to, you weren't planning on moving. You just were like, oh, let's just go to India. So
India was the first point.
So walk me through, you know, making that decision. Because did India lock down in March too?
Yeah.
Intensely. And it was pretty strict. Right? And are you on one of the islands, or were you on the mainland?
I am in one of the islands that belong to India, but it is part of, it's in the Indian, it's in the Andaman Sea, in the ocean, the Bay of Bengal. So it's a very tiny island, group of islands. And I was born in this island. I didn't expect to be, you know, in my late 30s, spending like 2 years with my mother and my, you know, a childhood home. So you can imagine all the stuff that was just thrown at my face that I wasn't prepared to look into. And I thought that I have worked through, and, you know, when you spend time with your family, you really know the intensity of your spiritual capacity. So yeah, that's why I said it was intense as well. It has been intense, but looks like this is what was meant for now.
So what particular practice has gotten you through some of that intensity? I didn't realize you were, you know, that you were living with your family, and that's it's amazing that, of course, they love having you there, right? They're happy that you're closer, but what are two of the main practices that you use to help you get through that intensity?
I'm very fortunate that I am in my family home, but it's an empty home. So all of my family members are scattered in different islands.
Oh.
So every time we locked down, I got to be in the empty home, but I didn't know anything in this home. Like I haven't lived here for 20 years.
Right.
So it was all new, and I was with my husband for, we have visited twice before for holiday, but this was different. But one of the things that I, in my early 20s, left India was because I found the society very confining to the radical opinions and ideas a woman can have, and especially talking in the, early 2000s, you know, things have been changing now, thankfully. But I was met with all of that, and I understood one thing very clearly, that it's a waste of my time to keep explaining myself to people around me. Like, what do you do? And why, you know, they think that I am doing some kind of black magic, or, you know, some kind of, you know, weird work, woo-woo work online, and it's all evil and all of that. So I was being told, you know, to, this is your opportunity to repent and course correct and blah, blah, blah. So all those things were getting on to me, and I realized, and I was responding back to that. And I realized that there are times in life you don't have to respond to people in order to save your sanity. And also that you can still disagree with those people and love them.
Mm.
So this was really put into practice. And of course, it's the root of it was first, you know, being loving and trusting to myself, really knowing and not doubting myself, doing some body practices that would help me feel safe, because I noticed I was beginning to, you know, little myself in order to not shine here.
Yeah.
So I just felt it was all out of integrity, and coming back to the body and bringing safety and love to the body. And then from that knowing, responding to the people around you, even your loved ones who don't understand, you know, because when you understand yourself fully and you know the truth of who you are, then a lot of things can become tiny little things that will not matter in the future.
Yeah. So, you know, coming from your background, you know, you said, you know, like 20 years ago, so that puts you like in your early 20s, late teens, you moved abroad. And so that means your parents were still on the island.
Yeah.
And when you told them, how long have you been practicing the life coaching and hypnotherapy? And because I can imagine I think you were probably doing something else. And then what did you tell your parents? Because, as you know, I'm also South Asian, and you know, they are very, they can be very traditional in the types of careers, you know, doctor, engineer, maybe attorney, you know, but it's like, especially when you immigrate somewhere, it's like, oh, you know, Mike, you're going to be a doctor, you're going to do, you know, so.
Exactly.
Explain how that went.
I feel you, sister. So I should begin from here that, yeah, of course, I ended up becoming an engineer in India. I studied, my life. Yeah, you see. So, yeah, it's so common. Like, you cannot get this wrong. There is a template that everyone follows, kind of similar template. And that's the reason I was telling you that, you know, it was confining to the ideas. However, I was very blessed to be in a very privileged family where my father always instilled in me to fly high and dream big and all of that. And whilst he was saying all of that, the society was telling me different stories. You know, whilst the society is all about goddess worship and all of that, but the reality is different. So I, as a teenager, was really confused, and I used to watch a lot of Hollywood movies, and I thought that, all right, women in the West are free, so I need to get out of here and go to the West and have a free lifestyle. But I knew one thing, that as a woman, I have to secure my finances. So I ended up becoming having a good IT job in India, and then I progressed to another position that led me to London. And so there I was, making a lot of money and, you know, living the free woman kind of lifestyle. My parents are not around, and all of that was so good. But I was caught in a different kind of, I would say, intense scenario, where I realized that women in the West, they really do look free from the outside, but in the inside, there is a whole another conundrum going on. A lot of it is about chasing the looks, looking beautiful, looking good in order to be accepted, in order to be successful, in order to, yeah, to make friends and all of that. So I just got really confused. I didn't understand where my place was as a woman. And this is not taught to us, and hence all of my inquiry around womanhood began. And I slowly shifted into learning different modalities. Some teachers came to me through some Facebook ads and things like that. Let's call it synchronicity. And when I discovered the feminine and I started doing the work, so eventually my business began, but my family would just not understand why she is doing this. And until today, I have done several retreats. I have done several courses online. Like, I have a big, beautiful community of women supporting each other. And until today, they think that, okay, this must be some, you know, YouTube thing that she does, and that's it. So there's no credit given to how much ever you can do to impact. And I've realized it, that, as I said, like, I cannot waste my time and energy in front of people who just simply will not get it at this point.
Right. Yeah, I think that's, I was just writing about that, about having boundaries and saying no. And I think that's so important, especially when you have, you know, family that just don't get it. It's just like, just accept me as I am, and I'm just going to keep moving through. Like, it's not your job to make them understand, you know, but the impact that you're having on women, that's what's important, you know, that you're living, you know, your truth and putting the work out that you were here to put out and help other specifically women with. So, yeah. More power to you.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes it's really hard to make them understand that you can make money the unconventional way, right? Because that's what they think, that you have to have a job. And even now they see that, you know, I have my own schedule. I choose the days that I want to work. So I kind of like, and I take a lot of time to rest, because the more I rest, the more I am creative in my content. So they kind of think and look at me like, oh gosh, she is holidaying for the last 2 years and she's not working and she doesn't go and have a job or something, but I'm making more money than usually people have in a 9-to-5 job. And sometimes they are amazed, like, really? So who pays you? Why would people even pay you? So that's really interesting. So it's also interesting to notice, and, you know, you can only prove them something by proving it to yourself.
Right. You know, yeah. So with all that in mind, it sounds like, you know, it sounds like to be able to make that jump from, you know, being so young and growing up in India and moved abroad by yourself, that takes a lot of courage and confidence. So it just seems like it's kind of instilled in you. And so where does your confidence come from, especially as you transition from engineer to entrepreneur and healerpreneur?
Yeah, that's a beautiful term. I like it, healerpreneur. To be really honest, I didn't have the confidence to begin with. Oh. I did not have the confidence, and I was a big time introvert. So my left brain ideas and logic was the kind like leading me to things, and I would take risk analysis for everything that I would do in life and all of that. So my confidence came through numbers and analysis and logic and all of that. And when I had my awakening into the ancient feminine wisdom, I realized that often people confuse confidence with self-trust.
Mm.
When there is self-trust, then it becomes easier to approach the things that you do. Self-confidence does not cultivate self-trust in most of the cases. Mm-hmm. And I realized that you can be confident at certain situations, and you cannot be in certain situations. And that's still the thing with me. Like, there are times when I have to present, or when I am giving a talk or in a retreat or whatever, I do not have the confidence, but I do have the trust. So I realized that, you know, trying to build confidence was some kind of, it was taking a lot of energy in me. And as I said, like I'm a human design projector. I'm an introvert, and I was taught the traditional business way, like put yourself out there, be in all the places, go and do so many number of networking events, this and that. So I did all of that, and I tried to build confidence, and confidence will come and all of that. But I realized that it was an external push for my personality.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was learning more about the divine feminine arts, what I had to understand that I was not trusting myself. And my teacher at that time said really beautiful thing, that you don't have to fall under the pressure to create self-trust, because it's already in there. There is an inner resource in you. And that really opened up a new way of me approaching. It allowed me to even fail and, you know, and screw up things and understand the fact that, okay, I can do this again. I can mess it up and I can still show up. So I don't really have to harness confidence, but really trust myself that my heart is pure and I am guided.
Mm.
And I have to learn it through my body, not as an external influence.
Yes, so, yes.
Long story short.
No, please elaborate, because it helps a lot. It helps me too continue to build my confidence and self-trust. But I thought that was so interesting, because I was thinking to myself, oh God, I wonder if she's a projector, when you said, you know, I take a lot of rest. And I was like, clue. And then I'm like, I'm a projector too. I'm extroverted, but I'm 5'1" splenic projector here. So I definitely understand, where that comes from, because every individual is different too, not just outside of the context of human design. And just being able to get your own rhythm going, like you had to, you know, there's certain things like you went and got help, and, you know, how to run a business and do all these, you know, marketing things. And it's, so that's just fascinating what you said about self-trust, having that you trust yourself more, but the confidence, you don't feel confident still, but I feel like it just sort of, that self-trust fuels your confidence into doing the work that you do. Because I mean, I know that's the thing about confidence, right? And self-trust, like you don't really detect that, because, you know, you're in front of me. And like, if you go to her website, she's done so many interviews. You've been on many, many different podcasts. You've gotten a lot of different exposure, and that takes a lot of, that takes some confidence and a lot of self-trust too.
Yeah.
No, but I know what you're saying, because yeah, like confidence and self-esteem, and you know, that it shows up in different places in your life, you know. And exactly. But I think how did you said you worked with a teacher, how did you build that self-trust? Because that's what's key with a lot of this work when you're working with others. And as you work with yourself, is really being able to trust yourself, trust listening to your intuition, trusting what happens, and taking that courage to move forward with the information that you're getting from within. So how did you build that self-trust?
Yeah. So it's interesting, because we women are not wired to be on the masculine for a really long time. And that's what I ended up landing in there into, you know. First, I was in a corporate job, and then I was going through dark nights of soul. And I eventually moved on to doing some feminine work. And then setting up the business, I realized that I was again going back to the same cycle of like all the doing, because there's so much to do when you are a beginner, as a businesswoman, as an entrepreneur. And I realized that, oh my God, the same cycle is repeating again. And I'm feeling burnt out, and I am not even feeling passionate about the thing that I'm doing or I want to do in this world. And then that kind of leads to lack of confidence, because you are just on the go, trying to tick boxes. And there are so many boxes to tick. So when I started working with this beautiful shamanic teacher, she told me that, you know, that you have this inner resource in you that you are born with, and you've got to, as a woman, learn how to use that. And she was referring to the depths, tuning into the depths of our womb space, and how we can work with the womb, and how this womb is a powerhouse for us women. But also, this is like any other powerhouse, like where power is generated, you know. You need to put it into certain kind of mechanism for the power to be generated. You know, so, and that's what we are not doing. Like, we women are literally walking around with this powerhouse inside of us without fueling the generator. And hence our womb. For most of us women in this busy era, our womb has become a space which is dense, cold, and rigid. And so for me, it began from learning to get in contact with my womb space, beginning to breathe, learn to listen and respond. Because here's the thing, she always speaks to us, but we don't listen. We are actually scared to listen even. And what I have noticed is that many women actually don't want to listen, because we know that when we begin to listen to the voices of the womb, oh gosh, a new box of Pandora is going to open. We've got to end up changing the things that are not in integrity. And who has time for that? Right. To go through that. So... but that's the only way where we can create a sustainable lifestyle for us and the creative work that we are putting out in the world. So getting into the depths of the womb, learning all about it, because what we are taught about the womb is only during pregnancy and nothing else. So for me, as a 24-year-old at the time, was like, why should I learn about the womb? It's not my time yet. You know? So, but then a whole new dimension opened up where I was feeling more in tune with my intuition, the voices, my creativity was coming through in a way that I knew that this work is important, and I don't have to feel like it's all me as this woman doing this work out there. For the rest of the women, it felt like something deeper inside of me was doing the work through me. And when we touch that space, confidence and trust begin to flow through.
What happens when you have a hysterectomy? I mean, the energy is still there. Like, how do you help women who don't have a womb anymore?
Yeah, as you said, Sharmila, that the energy is always there. So even if you have the womb removed, you can still do the energetic practices. There's powerful breath work that you can do. There's a lot of, I teach something called sensualize your womb, which is like tuning into your different senses and working with the womb. And so you don't really have to have a physical womb, but the energy is still there. And oftentimes the disconnection from that, the physical womb space being removed and the disconnection that it has created leads into a lot of trauma for women that we don't really understand the depth of.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so much, especially the trauma piece, there's, trauma from painful periods and sexual abuse and shame about periods. That piece is definitely, and I don't think we think about that, that impacts us, because I think, because sometimes it's so painful, you just push it down. And so that's where everything goes misalignment, right? Because then you just sort of like put on this other front and okay, I'm going to be like this. And there's still so much pain. It's kind of directing, your life, and it shows up in, maybe the work isn't good. Maybe there's a lot of extra drama in your life, that just you seem to always, collect or be around, be the center of, it just shows up in many different ways, that unhealed trauma.
Yeah. And we begin to live life from just the upper half of our body, and the lower half is, as a woman, is totally disconnected. And what I have noticed is that when we begin to work with the womb, when a woman begins to work with the womb, oftentimes she needs to present the womb with a lot of attention and intention for her to begin to listen to what the womb has to say. And then the womb may not make sense oftentimes. In the beginning, when I was thinking like, okay, what my womb, what do you need from me today? And I would hear things like apple or, like some random things like, go do this. And I would start to question these things. And I decided that, okay, I'm not going to question. I'm going to trust you that whatever you have to say, I'll listen. Because we have disconnected this relationship. And now we have to take our time to build the relationship. And oftentimes in doing so, what I've also noticed is that a lot of anger comes out for women. We women have, as you said, that have stored a lot of unprocessed emotions in our womb space. And a womb space is a storehouse, literally a memory center in our body. And when women begin to do this womb work, a lot of emotions of anger come out, and that's absolutely normal too.
Yeah. Yeah. And as as women, you're taught not to express that anger,
Yeah.
Not to be destructive. But so for you, you said you rely more on self-trust rather than it takes too much energy for you to build confidence. So any parting words of wisdom about building self-trust for any, budding healers out there who are starting on their journey of becoming a healer or are in their journey and it's just like frustrated, like any wisdom about building self-trust?
Yeah. So the body first. So this is my biggest tip that I can give, that anytime you are putting yourself out there or creating a content or doing any work or any like podcast like this, return to the womb, like give yourself literally good 2-3 minutes to center yourself in the womb and then step into your intentions and then begin the work. And you will eventually feel the self-trust building and rising and a greater force working through you. And that's one part. And having said all of this, I also have learned that I shouldn't take myself so seriously while doing this work. Like, there is a thing called divine humor. Like, yes. Our universe is constantly making a fool of us. Yeah. We have learned it since 2020, so or even before. So don't take yourself so seriously in this work. You are allowed to screw things up, make mistakes, fail, listen to criticism. And I consider them as like goddess winks. You know, every time this something like this happens, I just understand that, okay, there's something I can change or improve or work with. So when you build that self-trust, you allow yourself to screw things up, and then you know that you can rebuild things. You can fix everything. So you have the permission to screw and fix, and that's what we do throughout our lifetime.
Yeah. I know, right? Life, you know, if you make plans, shit happens, right? So I think that's so important, and I'm glad you spoke to that, that, you know, you're allowed to make mistakes and to have a sense of humor. I mean, that's what's gotten me through everything, is being able, having the ability to laugh at oneself. It goes a long, long way.
That's true.
So tell us about your free series.
I am happy to share my free series, which is the Sensualize Your Womb that I mentioned earlier. So it's a 7 days of free series for women to learn how to connect with their womb, use their different senses, so then they can see where they want to take their journey further from here.
So you can reach Jonita through her website, which is jonitadesouza.com. And all of this will be in the show notes. And plus, she will send me a link for her free series. You can find her on Facebook under Exploring Femininity. And she has a YouTube channel as well. And I will put all this in the show notes so you can find out more about how to work within your womb space and being able to build self-trust. Oh my God, this was such an amazing conversation. It's just so fascinating. You're such a powerful healer. And I'm just so glad that you are doing it and didn't give up even during the pandemic. So thank you. Thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you so much.
Wow, it's been a pleasure sharing life experiences and having a laugh and talking about important things too. Thank you so much for holding a beautiful space, Sharmila.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's my pleasure. So let's give her a warm goodbye hug. Thank you, Jonita. And thank you for joining us today. My name is Sharmila Mali, and this has been The Confident Healer. We'll see you next time. Bye. Thank you for listening. Please go to www.theconfidenthealer.net. This is the best place to listen to the podcast, and it's also where you can go and find the guest info in the show notes. Remember, there are three important actions to take to help grow the show. Invite others to listen, leave a review if you learned something new, or if you just learned something, and by leaving a donation. You can find the links on theconfidenthealer.net. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.